And then I guess we can just take a quick look, because we talked about these data that are going to be presented, but in terms of what we have, any comments in terms of what we've seen up to now, Joyce, in terms of the efficacy? You know, here it was compared to trastuzumab docetaxel, much less toxicity, and actually seemed to have better efficacy. It seems like it's kind of chemo trastuzumab, but without the chemo side effects.
Yeah, this was an interesting finding. It was a head-to-head randomized phase 2 first-line metastatic comparing docetaxel and trastuzumab, which is really good therapy, versus the T-DM1. And the T-DM1 was substantially better with regard to progression-free survival. And one could hypothesize that that may be because over time, as you know, the docetaxel gets pretty toxic over time, and it needs to be stopped because of cumulative toxicity. But as Hope said, with the T-DM1, patients can keep going on basically kind of until progression, because there really doesn't seem to be, not that I've seen at least, cumulative toxicity with it, because I also had a patient that went about 3 years on it. Boy, did she do great, you know? So the ability to stay on the therapy appears to be translating into better efficacy for patients. So that's really, really good for our metastatic patients.
So Hope, when you look at your patients who have T-DM1 in terms of what you perceive in terms of side effects, if chemo's a 10 and, you know, endocrine treatment's a 0, where does T-DM1 fit in terms of quality of life?
Well, it's very good because you don't, you know, hair loss is a really big issue for our patients with advanced disease, and you don't lose your hair with T-DM1. There is a little short-term toxicity. People get some fatigue with the infusion. They get a little bit of nausea sometimes, and thrombocytopenia is something you have to watch out for.
And do you see bleeding, incidentally?
No. Actually, when we were doing the initial phase 2 studies, we had to check the platelets every week, and the lowest platelet count we saw was 17, and that patient did not have any bleeding. Now, we never have seen that since then, so it's quite unusual. Most patients will drop a little below 100, but that's it. The one thing we have seen is that patients' thrombocytopenia is long-lived, so even after they came off T-DM1, their platelets didn't bounce back completely. And I think it'll be interesting to see when this is approved, which undoubtedly it will be by next year, what we see in practice in terms of patients who've been on the drug for a while. We also don't really know what the predictors of response are. It could be that in our patients who are truly taxane resistant, that we see less response in T-DM1. It's just, you know, we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, again, now with brentuximab vedotin out there and T-DM1 probably coming on board, you know, 5 years from now, where we are in terms of these really interesting antibody-drug conjugates. Let's go on to the second case, and also, I guess, the issue of T-DM1 in the adjuvant setting. Hope, any comments in terms of efficacy and maybe a lot better quality of life?
Yeah, there's an intro. You know, we did this trial, multi-center trial, looking at weekly paclitaxel and a year of trastuzumab, 12 weeks, and I mean, incredibly well tolerated. A lot of our patients used the cold caps, didn't lose their hair. And so the next step in that sort of continuum is to treat small HER2-positive disease, patients who don't qualify for the affinity trial you saw earlier with pertuzumab with T-DM1. And just to give them, you know, 4 doses of T-DM1 over 12 weeks, and then I think we're giving them trastuzumab too, and we'll see what happens. That's another Dana-Farber-based trial that many sites will be participating in.
Yeah, it's along that same line in terms of trying to give less toxic therapy when your, you know, risk of recurrence is lower. So you've given both, Georgia, the trastuzumab paclitaxel and the T-DM1. Do you think they're equally tolerated, or is one better tolerated than the other?
So T-DM1 alone versus the combination therapy? I found that T-DM1 alone is probably better tolerated than the combination therapy. With the paclitaxel, you have the side effects of peripheral neuropathy, slight nausea. So I would say T-DM1 better tolerated.